thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed again every day, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed.
The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday evening show. And it's actually now in 3 hours. Well, possibly 3 hours. The first hour is about Israel and the Middle East. The second hour is about everything you could think of pertaining to the end times. And the third is a spillover. And we just pick up whatever is left and have some prayer. And it's been going very good, folks. Very, very good. I've been really blessed. So this is our show, the Prophetic End Times Weekly Update. We've been doing this for a number of years now. And I have with me, hang on for a second, I got to make a couple. Here we go. And I have with me Dave Hauser. So let me find Dave, and Dave is here. Hello, Dave.
Well, shalom and Maranatha, John.
Shalom and Maranatha to you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's, are you ready to rumble here?
Yes.
Okay, let's get over here, and we're starting at 1 Corinthians 15:51, Dave.
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
All right, Dave. The scriptures that I read in 1 Thessalonians 4, is the first part, I'm going to say, of the rapture doctrine. The main scriptures about the rapture doctrine. Of course, there are many more. And then what you just read in 1 Corinthians 15 is the second main body of scriptures about the rapture doctrine. And the rapture doctrine is different than what we classically think as Christ's second coming, Because in Christ's second coming, Dave, where does his feet stand?
On the Mount of Olives, John, right outside Jerusalem.
Yes. And when he comes for us, where is his feet?
Up in the air.
Right. Right. Yeah. So there's the big difference. When he comes for his bride, which is the church of the living God, he comes with the shout of a trumpet blast. And he'll probably say, come up hither. Dave, I'm sure it's going to be good King James. How do you think? What do you think?
I would think so.
Anything he says, Dave, is fine with me.
That's right.
And we meet him in the air. Two distinct comings of Jesus Christ. One for his bride in the air, which we just read to you. And the other is coming to Jerusalem to defend his people Israel and set up his millennial reign here on earth. Millennial means 1,000, folks, so it's a 1,000-year reign on earth. Now, also, we have what's called the blessed hope, and the blessed hope and the rapture is the same. You know, hoping for Christ coming and the rapture is the same. So let's take a look at Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. In fact, I'm going to read all the scriptures. There's five scriptures that go together. And if you notice, they're all joined by commas or semicolons. Starting at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a special people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So there we are, folks. That's the another part of the rapture doctrine here. The blessed hope, Christ coming for us. And Titus 2:13, let me read that scripture again. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dave, I'd like to just speak about Titus 2:13 for a minute or two here.
Sure.
You got the lead in here in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And what does the grace of God do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness. Now, ungodliness means a life without God centered in it, not a God centered life. And worldly lust, we should live soberly. Soberly is clear minded. Righteously, that's according to his word. We should be living according to his word. And godly, that means God's in everything we do in this present world. Now, notice the semicolon. Then it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, semicolon. So if we want to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, that's all connected, Dave. That's all one thought. That's the impact. That's the effect of the blessed hope, living righteously, godly, and in this present, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we go over to the next verse, verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a special people, zealous of good works. So living with the blessed hope is part of redeeming us from iniquity, sin, and purifying himself a special people. So, Dave, right in the middle of all that living godly, righteously, free from iniquity, purifying ourselves, is the blessed hope, living with the rapture thing.
Amen, John.
And then it ends in verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So God is saying, looking for the blessed hope, the rapture, we're to speak about it and exhort. That's what I'm doing right now, is exhorting and rebuke those that are against it. We have authority from the word. With all authority, let no man despise thee. Let no man despise thee. Okay, Dave. We've got some very interesting things to share tonight. Now hang on here. I'm making a little adjustment. All authority. Okay. So we'll start in the Middle East with Israel Day. So what do you have for us to begin?
Well, John, one thing, it may not be the top of the list, but one thing that I saw today, I saw a little video with Tucker Carlson inflaming anti-Semitism and making a huge theological mistake, basically blatantly saying that the Jewish people are not God's chosen people. And basically, we should really not have too much to do with Israel. So it was a little strange. He basically said, well, the New Testament says Christians are God's chosen people. He's neglecting to look at the Old Testament, what God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, God's plan to give the land to Israel, completely ignoring God's plan, the resurrection of Israel from the graveyard of the nations in Ezekiel 37, etc. So it may sound unusual, but if you have time, if you're listening to this, maybe you can go to on the internet, and Tucker Carlson has a way to contact him, and you may want to just give him a biblical education, because what he's doing is incredibly dangerous. He's inflaming the fans of anti-Semitism. And to make it very simple, Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives in Acts chapter 1. And Zechariah, John spoke about his feet are going to come back to the Mount of Olives. Well, gee, why is he coming back? He's coming back to defend Israel because the entire planet's going to gang up on Israel over Jerusalem and Judea. Well, Tucker, look at the news. It's on television. The United Nations is gathering against Israel over Jerusalem and Judea. How long did that take to explain? And it's in the Bible. So what he's doing is incredibly dangerous. He's throwing flames on the problem already. So it's very sad, John. So I just wanted to interject that.
Well, Dave, I'm very glad that you did that because I had picked it up. I saw the headline, but I didn't go any further than that. It was a video, I think. And we really need to talk about this because this is getting serious, folks. There's a perniciousness now amongst people that we used to, I don't know, be part of or hang out with and all, like Tucker. And I've run into others now. And it all started, Dave. It all started on October 7th when Israel was attacked. And it seems that something huge happened in the spiritual realm, Dave. This has changed us over now to judgment. We can feel it. It's in the air. And those that had a veneer on about Israel, let's say, maybe they didn't say anything at all, but they had a veneer. It was ripped off, and they're getting more and more and more demonic over it. There's Tucker Carlson. There is Candace Owens. She's a maniac, an absolute maniac. She's bought into Dave. All of that Middle Ages hatred of the Jews, where the Jews steal Gentile children and kill them and use their blood for making matzahs. Have you heard that one, Dave?
I've heard about it, but not recently.
Well, you're going to hear about it now. She's beating that drum. She actually promotes it. I've heard her say it. And then there's this guy I used to follow when it was with COVID and all. It's Adams, Mike Adams. He refers to himself as the, just can't think of it right now, what he refers to himself. But he gave great information out, scientific information. And then, like, October 8th, he was a raving maniac against Israel. I mean, a raving maniac. He's so bad. I used to just want to get a little handle on what he was saying. But he was so bad against Israel that he actually gave a Bible study on Ezekiel 38 and 39. And that the country that God was coming to destroy there and all wasn't Gog and the leader Gog Magog, but it was Israel. He completely did a 180 on it there. 180. So, yeah, Health Ranger. Thank you. I'm looking at the chat room. Health Ranger. So, I want to add to what you were saying. And at some point, we may have to do some serious teaching that can be used as go-to information. I'll have to post it like on my website. I do have it, a good teaching in my book, As America Has Done to Israel. There is a good teaching in there about defending the nation of Israel. But Dave, we're going to do some simple things right now to show you the utter nonsense of what Tucker Carlson is saying. But it's not only him. It's growing now. In fact, Dave, I'm banned from Alex Jones because I was in there watching it and how one after another he was promoting people that were against Israel. Although him himself wasn't quite as bad, but some of the people who were promoting were very bad. And every once in a while I would go in there and I'd post some verses about Zion, about God being a Zionist. God loves Zion. Isaiah 34:8, the battle of like Armageddon, that's what he's talking about. The Lord's talking about in that verse there. He says, because of the controversy over Zion. So with these maniacs, I began to post some, couple scriptures about Zion. And next thing you know, I'm thrown out. I'm an exile, Dave. And I'm an exile from, YouTube. I'm banished to Siberia or someplace from YouTube. And then, Facebook, they call shadow ban. All people, not so much now, but back, ways back, they'd say, I thought you were no longer on Facebook. You know, so it's called shadow banning, where I think they're promoting me or it's a regular Facebook, but they're actually blocking. And maybe they allow one out of 20 people to find me. It's called shadow banning. So that's what Facebook did. So I've been thrown out of the best of them, Dave. But anyways, what I wanted to get to, and this is a very, very simple contest. Dave, we'll go back 80 years. We'll say 90 years. We'll go back 90 years. When Hitler and the Nazis were running wild, and Hitler was vehement against the Jews and all of that, and they were starting to put them, like arrest them and put them in camps. Maybe not because in 1941, the big slaughter stopped. But did anyone, Dave, ever say, did you ever hear anyone say, Adolf, what are you doing? These aren't Jews. Did you ever hear that,
Dave? No, John, he knew exactly who they were.
Now, are you sure of that? Because Tucker Carlson positive. Says they're not Jews.
Positive.
Right. Did the Jews ever say, Adolf, what are you doing? We're not Jews.
Absolutely not.
Okay. So now millions of them are slaughtered, and we'll say a relatively small number want to leave Europe and go to Israel. Now, somewhere, it was by boat that they were leaving. Somewhere between, we'll say, they left from France, and they're taking the boat over to Haifa. Did they cease becoming Jews?
Doesn't look like it.
When they got out of the boat and stepped on the land of Israel, are they real Jews?
I would think so.
Okay, so what about Tucker Carlson and what he's saying?
Very strange, John.
Wouldn't you say it's in the realm
of people?
Right. Wouldn't you say it's in the realm of bizarre?
Theologically wrong. Very bizarre, and encouraging the devil's plan to try to destroy Israel.
Exactly, Dave. Now, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the Russians, through the Tsar and the Russian Orthodox Church, were persecuting the Jews, right?
Absolutely. Pogroms.
Pogroms, right. So 1881 started the real big pogrom with the Jews fled Russia, and the vast majority came here to America. They called it the Glorious Land. They were hearing all these reports coming back from America, from the Jews that had gone to America. So there was a huge, like a spontaneous eruption against the Jews. It's called a pogrom by the Tsar. Tsar Alexander II, I think it was. The vast majority went to America, but a small amount trickled south from Russia into the historical land of Israel. And that started but there were Jews there. There were Jews already, mostly in Jerusalem. So that started like the modern, that's the start of the modern Zionist movement back to Israel. Now, when the Tsar was killing the Jews, did anyone say, "Tsar, what are you doing? They're not Jews"?
He knew exactly who they were.
Right. Did the Jews ever say, "Tsar, what are you doing? We're not Jews. We're Khazars or something else"?
Absolutely not.
Right. So when they landed in Israel, they were still Jews. So when Dave, according to Tucker Carlson, but other people like him now that are saying this, when did they cease becoming Jews?
They didn't.
Right. Exactly. Exactly, folks. This is really bad, Dave, that he's doing this. Really bad. Now, I got it right here. Hang on, folks. I forgot I had it here. Now, Dave, don't we hear that the Jews in Israel are European colonizers?
They're talking about a lot of stuff that they're doing that is inappropriate. And, John, when you look at what happened at the United Nations, when Benjamin Netanyahu got to the podium, the majority of ambassadors and counselors left the conference. And Netanyahu's speech was incredible, very, very thoughtful, and went over the entire situation. So it's very sad that the planet, we know exactly what's going to happen, Jerusalem and Judea, the burdensome stone. And that's exactly what the problem is now, John.
Yes, yes. But I want to get to, I want everybody to know this, what I'm saying. That's why I'm going over it kind of slowly. And I'm showing you the absolute idiotic fallacy of what they're doing. The Muslims don't even do this, folks. The Muslims admit they're Jews. This is like the right, quote, right wing in America, primarily America. I don't know if it's being done in England and that, but here it is. And Dave, so what I'm driving at, I want everybody to realize this, is that the focus in the creation of modern-day Israel, the news and writings and all, are the Jews that left Europe right after World War II and came to Israel. Right, Dave?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay. But here's what I want everybody to know. The day, April 14th, 1948, that Israel declared itself a nation. All the Muslim nations, all of them, from Morocco and Northern Africa, all across Northern Africa, Egypt, going up into Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, Iraq, and Iran, every one of them rose up and drove either all the Jews out or 95%, and they drove them to Israel. They wanted, it was an excuse to get them out of their country. And Israel was attacked. Israel didn't start any war. So here I want to show you the newspaper I have from the New York Times, May 15th, that's the day after, Israel declared itself a nation. And I think you can read it. Oh, maybe I'll bring it in a little closer. Zionists proclaim new state of Israel. Truman recognizes it and hopes for peace. Tel Aviv is bombed. Egypt orders invasion. So Dave, who started when Israel became a nation? Did they attack anybody? Did they say we're going to take over all the Middle East? No. Egypt attacked them. Jordan attacked them. Syria, Iraq, Egypt attacked them. It was a combined Arab army attacked Israel on the very day it was declared. So I've got the New York Times here to show it, but I want to show you one more thing. I want everybody, this is very important, what I'm showing you now. And I can't, I think it's in this other one. Yeah. Hang on, I have another one. Dave, I give presentations. I use this for everybody to see. All that propaganda, the Jews stole the land. They were attacked. They didn't steal anything. The Jews are warmongers. Let's see what we have here. Dave, what happened is almost a million Jews were driven out of those Arab countries, and they were forced to Israel. So they're not colonizers, Dave. Their own Muslim nations back in 1948 drove the Jews out of their land to Israel. The Jews had to flee like in the middle of the night to escape to get to Israel. So the main amount of people or Jews that founded modern day Israel weren't European colonizers. They were Sephardic Jews that lived in the Arab world there since they were driven out from Rome in 70 AD. See, we need to know history like this, Dave, because you can refute all of it when you know things like I'm sharing with you here. So I can't find it, but it's a big, huge article, and it lists the numbers of Jews that fled Egypt and the ones that fled Libya and all of that to go to Israel. They were driven out, and they were driven to Israel, Dave. Isn't that something?
Well, it documents what we're talking about, John.
Right. Now, folks, trust me on this, I hope. When God does something, he does it absolutely correctly according to law, not only his law, but even man's law. When the Jews came back to the land, it was 100% legal. It was 100% legal. They didn't steal land from anyone. What happened was they were attacked, and the war lasted until January. And then an armistice was held, and the Jews had taken land during the war from being attacked. They drove the Arabs back. So they gained land from the war in which they were attacked by. That's the state of Israel. After in 1949, the way it looked was because they had been attacked by the Arab nation, and they were driven back, and they were driven in. So, I mean, that's how they gained it. If the Arabs didn't attack, Israel would be a tiny little odd-looking nation, but they attacked Israel. Israel defended itself. So there is information, folks, that we desperately need, that we can use. God didn't, the Jews didn't steal anything. They were attacked, and they gained it through combat. Dave, any questions, any comments?
Well, John, God made an eternal covenant with the Jewish people to give them the land of Israel. And we see it being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. And like you said, they did not steal the land. Number one, the creator of the universe is the landlord. He gave the deed to the Jewish people.
Yes, exactly.
And, yeah, that's it. Very simple.
In a sense, you could say they're like renting it from them. All right. There's two things we've got remaining. One is a video that it's about 12 minutes. So I think we might watch the video first. And another one is an article that is mind-boggling. Is Egypt on a collision path with Israel? And the answer is yes. We know from the prophets that war is going to take out when it take place between Israel and Egypt. And it says the day of the Lord is near, and the Egypt is going to be uninhabitable as a result of this war. And Egypt, the Egyptians, the survivors, are going to flee into all the world, all the nations. I'd like to I'd like to read it because it's so juicy, full of tremendous information. But I also have a video here, and of all people, it's Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State. And here's the headline: Netanyahu watches in awe as Rubio uses prophetic language in message to Israel. So I watched the beginning and it was very good. So let's, Dave, what do you think? You want to delve into this?
Great idea, John.
It is, let me tell you how
long. And to stand here.
It's 12 minutes, almost exactly 12 minutes. All right, so let me bring it over. And oh, by the way, folks, Dave and myself have been talking, mostly Dave. I've been listening. Right, Dave?
Oh, yes.
And now I don't know who was finding all these videos, you or your wife?
Well, actually,
the truth.
I'll be truthful.
The truth.
It's actually me,
I, we
John,
want the truth, Dave. We want the truth now.
I find them, and my wife actually, as a courtesy, emails them to you.
Okay. It's a teamwork, then.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but here's what's going on. Dave is, he's finding videos. Most of them are, I think, they're no more than 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, some of them are very short.
Right.
Some of them, like you said, no more than 20 minutes, but
right.
They're incredibly educational.
Right. So that's what we've decided to do, is try and present as many of these, as Dave said, educational videos as possible, like this one here. So this one's 12 minutes. And so that's what we're going to be doing from now on, is trying to lace this with these good videos here. So this one here, Netanyahu watches in awe as Rubio uses prophetic language and message to Israel. All right, so hang on here as I get this set up. It'll only take a minute. And here we go.
Today, on the very road, where not 2,000 years ago, so many from everywhere ventured to fulfill that desire to be closer to the Creator. It's a humbling and honoring experience.
As you go through the layers of history, you realize that all the civilizations that conquered the city, all the ones who tore it down and built on top, are all gone. The Roman Empire is no more, nor any of the others that sought to conquer and rule this land. But one people remain. They have returned, for God's promise is eternal, and it is perfect. And his word is always true. And I'm honored to be a part of its fulfillment here with you tonight.
Let's now talk about something beautiful that happened last week. And that is that the city of David, which is in eastern Jerusalem, close to the Kotel, the Western Wall, celebrated the opening of the Pilgrimage Road, which is a road that leads from the Siloam Pool in the lower part of it up towards the Temple Mount. This is what people walked 2,000 years ago. And so not only did the prime minister come, not only did the U.S. ambassador to Israel come, but also Secretary of State Marco Rubio flew in, and he came to talk about hostages, and he came to talk about defeating jihadism and the Qatar strike and all that. But he really came to talk about Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, and that reunification of Jerusalem, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and the finding of the Jerusalem below, the ancient Jerusalem connecting with the Jerusalem above. Here is Marco Rubio at the City of David, underneath modern Jerusalem, in the bowels of Jerusalem, finding ancient Jerusalem and reconnecting to it. Here is what Marco Rubio came and said in the land of Israel, in Yerushalayim.
Thank you very much. It's truly a pleasure and an honor to be here today on this important occasion. It's Mr. Prime Minister and Ms. First Lady, thank you for joining us. To my wife, Jeanette, who has also been able to be a part of it and has been a big supporter and frequent visitor as well here to this such a special project. To our ambassador, Ms. Huckabee, thank you as well for joining us here tonight. I come on behalf of the United States of America and of our president, who I spoke to about 2 hours ago and told him I would be visiting here, who sends his highest regards and deepest admiration and congratulations on what is being celebrated here this evening. I come as the Secretary of State of a nation that was founded 249 years ago, 250 years next year. We'll be celebrating that. I know that that is young by your standards, but from our purposes, it's a special occasion.
How important is it that Marco Rubio recognizes the real age of Israel, which is certainly not since 1948? This is the third Commonwealth, and he sees that.
And one in which it's important for us to be reminded upon what it is our nation, the United States, was founded on. The United States was founded on a powerful idea, defined not by geography, ethnicity, or anything else. It was founded on the very powerful principle that the rights of mankind comes from their creator. Now, perhaps that principle today is taken for granted, but when those words were written 250 years ago, it was a revolutionary idea. Up until that point, every man, woman, and child largely that had ever lived on the earth was governed by people they did not choose and had no role in picking, and over whom they had little influence. And change came not through elections or at the ballot box, but through wars and through conquest. And so the idea that somehow our rights, our dignity, our value as a human being was rooted in the fact that our rights came from our Creator, that was a revolutionary idea 250 years ago, one that I believed helped change the world. But that idea did not come from the ether. It did not come from someone's imagination. It was deeply rooted in the traditions, in the teachings of ancient words, thousands and thousands of years, that find its genesis here, literally on the very spot on which I stand. For it was here that God fulfilled his promise to his people. It was here that the lessons that form the base rock and the foundations of our laws, of the principles upon which we decide what is right and what is wrong, was built upon. If you think about the things that today we in civilized societies used as rules to govern us, these things did not come because good people wrote them. They came because they were rooted in ancient teachings that found its genesis here, not just in the city, but literally on the very spot on which we stand. It's an interesting thing about humanity. Almost anywhere in the world you go, and there are some incredible archaeological sites around the planet, I believe none as important as this one. But it is stunning how many of these archaeological sites, be they pyramids in Central America, or pyramids in Egypt not far from here, were in some ways all defined by the desire to get closer to the divine. Something is programmed in the DNA of us as creatures that yearns to be closer to our Creator. This has been true across societies forever. But it was here where a road led God's people to their Creator. It was here that a road led them to be as close as they possibly could, not just to the Creator of our species, but of the heavens and the earth and all the universe.
And it strikes me as we stand here today to inaugurate this pilgrimage road, we are reminded that truly we are all pilgrims, seeking our own road towards our Creator, towards the divine. For deep inside of us, we all know that we were created for a purpose and for a reason, that our dignity comes from our Creator. We deeply believe in our country as a founding principle from the God of Abraham and Isaac. And to stand here today on the very road where not 2,000 years ago, so many from everywhere ventured to fulfill that desire to be closer to the Creator is a humbling and honoring experience. One more thing of note. This is a fascinating city. I joke, but maybe not joke, that you really, I live in Miami. If you dig a couple feet, you'll hit Coral Rock. Here, if you dig a couple feet, you'll hit history. So much of the city is built, has been described to be almost as a birthday cake. Layers and layers of human history. And for that, we're incredibly grateful. To be able to see the work that went into this project and to see not just stones, not just ruins, but from this very site to be able to touch a road and stones and the remnants of construction that give word and give life to teachings that we've heard our entire life. To be able to touch and walk upon roads and stand next to not just symbols, not just historic artifacts, but to things that bring to life the ancient lessons and ancient teachings that have guided our societies for thousands of years, without which America, an exceptional nation, never would have been possible, is a humbling and moving experience. But one more thing is striking. As you go through the layers of history, you realize that all the civilizations that conquered this city, all the ones who tore it down and built on top, are all gone. The Roman Empire is no more, nor any of the others that sought to conquer and rule this land. But one people remain. They have returned, for God's promise is eternal, and it is perfect, and His word is always true. And I'm honored to be a part of its fulfillment here with you tonight. Thank you.
What an amazing speech. What an amazing speech. And that those last points at the end there were just unbelievable to me. Like, the people that have built upon Jerusalem are no longer here, but the Jewish people are an eternal people and they're back. And not because they're so smart or great, but because God wills it, because God's promises are true, because his words are perfect. Oh my gosh, that really just touched my heart to hear that said by such an important leader. And again, he came here to deal with the Qatar strike, try to free the hostages, Israel war with Hamas. And yet the heart of this trip was the heart of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and the fulfillment of God's word. That's the heart of it. That's the heart of it. The heart of it is, what is this thing all about? And, you know, my producer, Yo, pointed out to me something very true, which is, like, we live in a world where, you know, big statements are made and it's just part of the news cycle. It just keeps going. Like, this was probably the most important thing that happened last week in the land of Israel. That is the most important thing that happened, was the speech. The pilgrimage road, the inauguration of that is more important than the rest of the stuff that happened. We're fighting wars and people are dying, but, like, in terms of proclamations, in terms of historic moments, the recognition of the pilgrimage road.
Okay, I think that. It's over now, so he's making a little summation here. But Dave, what do you think about the Secretary of State of the United States making a speech like that?
Well, John, you shouldn't ask me. You should ask Tucker Carlson what he thinks.
That's pretty good, Dave. That's pretty good. Where is the Roman Empire? Where's the Babylonian Empire? The Medo-Persian Empire?
The Ottoman
Empire.
Right.
All those empires. The Byzantine Empire. The Arab Muslim Empire over Israel and Jerusalem. Where are they, Dave? The Jew is
they're
back.
They're gone. Right?
And then I realized for the first time, he said, we're facing our 250th birthday, right? The United States?
Right.
Dave, Israel goes back to what we could say when it first became a nation was under Moses. When they were leaving the Egypt to go to the Promised Land, that was like 1400 BC. We're not even a phase in that time, Dave. Isn't that amazing?
It goes back a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. But look what God did with America in those years. You know, went to be a world superpower. Very short time, Dave. Historically speaking, very, very short time. Okay. Any other comments?
Well, John, I think we also, you know, have a speech from Huckabee that we could show, you know, down the road.
Yeah, I think it was done the same day. We'll set that up for next week, Dave.
Right. Incredible speech. And when you think that Huckabee is the ambassador to Israel, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but he's a former Baptist pastor, I think, and he's on the exact same page as us. And the creator of the universe sends him to Jerusalem to speak as the world is gathering against Israel over Jerusalem and Judea. So the Lord is being very merciful and warning people, because when you read what happens in Zechariah to Israel's enemies when they try to destroy Jerusalem at the end of the tribulation, you'll understand they're making a very big mistake, physically and eternally.
I can't argue with that, Dave. All right. This article is titled, Is Egypt on a Collision Path with Israel? Now, about 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I published such a, almost like this on my blog. And I think I may have read some excerpts, but this one here is, wow. I was reading it today, and it's a little long. But it was so good. And really, Egypt is on a collision course with Israel. And we know from the prophets, Dave, that that's going to happen, right?
Exactly.
And we know that something awful happens to the Nile River. The people have to flee. Fish all die. The river just ceases, really, turns into muck. And I believe that that's going to happen when Egypt attacks Israel. And Israel's going to take out the Aswan Dam. And that's what's going to make Egypt uninhabitable. All right, so let me get as far into this as I can. And if you want to read it yourselves or reference it, you go to my blog, mct911.com. And I have like 5 different blogs on it. This one here is about Israel and the Middle East. In fact, right now it's the lead article. All right. Egypt is acting as though it is preparing for war with Israel, but this needs to be put in the right context. Ruth Wasserman Landy, a former Israeli deputy ambassador to Egypt, told JNS. JNS is the news service I'm taking this article from on Thursday. Egypt has built up its military presence in the Sinai Peninsula with tunnels, storage facilities, manpower, and equipment far beyond the terms of its 1979 peace treaty with Israel. She is a senior researcher at the Misgav Institute for national security and Zionist strategy. Furthermore, Cairo has recently conducted a joint naval drill with Ankara. Now, that's Turkey. Ankara is the capital of Turkey. The first such exercise after a 13-year hiatus, an Arab affairs expert added. This latest development is very worrying because it doesn't take much sense for Egypt to attack Israel on its own. But it is feasible to do so with Turkey, she said. The actions of both Muslim countries establish the conditions for a causus belli, reason for war, that means, which consists of war declarations, intent, military capability, albeit Egypt is a little far behind with regard to the latter, she noted. The Egyptian anti-Israel declarations are getting worse by the day, she said. Egypt, moreover, hosts senior Hamas officials in its territory, a fact that goes under the radar in the media, she continued. The two even made a pact before October 7th, 2023, that the terrorist group would not target Egypt or cooperate with Islamic terrorist cells inside Egypt territory, while Cairo will overlook weapons smuggled into Gaza, he said. All right, Dave, I'm going to stop here, and we'll go little by little and chew on it. What do you take from this, Dave?
Well, John, it's a direct fulfillment of a future prophecy. Egypt's not going to make out very well. It talks about no foot of man, no foot of beast shall walk in Egypt for 40 years.
Exactly right. Now, Dave, from reading this, we knew it, but now we've got like proof, I'm going to say. How did Hamas get all these weapons and these supplies? I mean, they can't.
The tunnels.
Exactly. They got it from Egypt. They got it from Egypt. So Egypt, the Egyptians said, look, you don't attack us and you don't, no terrorist activity and all. And we'll let you get all the weapons you want through the Gaza tunnels. That explains it, folks. Egypt was a co-conspirator in this. However, Wasserman cautioned against framing Israel as warmongering, which could instigate further antagonism between the two peace partners. Come on, just tell the truth. He said that Cairo has an irrational view of Israel as a threat to its national interests. It distrusts the Jewish state, fearing its alleged imperialistic aspirations in the region. Cairo particularly distrusts the current Israeli government, she continued, while Egypt saw other Israeli governments in a negative light. It takes very serious many of the blunt statements made by certain members of this coalition, the expert said. The Hamas-led invasion and massacre in Israel's northwestern Negev on October 7th, 2023, has made only matters worse. She added that Cairo believes that Jerusalem seeks to move the Gazans into Egypt. Now, Dave, when we look back here, what was said, Egypt has this irrational fear of Israel and imperialism. Did the Jews attack anyone on May 14th, 1948?
No, all the surrounding Arab armies attacked them.
Right. On June 7th, 1967, did Israel attack Egypt and Syria and Jordan, or was Israel attacked?
Israel was attacked.
What happened was the Egyptians, the Arab army, was planning first thing at dawn to attack Israel. And because I lived through it, I remember it vividly, watching it on the news. And Israel beat them to the punch. The only way Israel attacked Egypt, its air force, was to take it out so they couldn't attack Israel. Same with Syria. And the Yom Kippur War, Dave, in 1973, did Israel attack Egypt and Syria, or was Israel attacked by Egypt and Syria?
On the Jewish most holy holiday. Terrible.
Yeah. Israel was attacked, right?
Yes.
Does Israel just out of a whim send missiles into Gaza?
Or Yemen, or Lebanon.
Right.
Or Iraq,
right.
Or Iran.
Right. No, there's a cause for it. There's a reason for it. They're usually responding to Hamas firing missiles into Israel. So Egypt here, it thinks that Israel is the aggressor. That's what the left here in America says. When they're not the aggressor, Dave, they are not the aggressor. But yet they're accused of everything. They're accused of everything. All right, let me add a little more. These fears are unfounded, she said, recollecting Palestinians from the Gaza Strip to Egypt, relocating to Egypt would simply move the problem from one border to another, she stressed. In addition, Israel has no interest in destabilizing the Egyptian administration via the Palestinians. Despite the fact it's very far from perfect, as articulated above, she said. Eddie Cohen, Orientalist and research fellow at the Israel Center for Grand Strategy, believe that chances for war are low. All right, so let me just skip this a little. All right, now it says here, when Israel carried out an airstrike against senior Hamas officials in Qatar last month, the die was cast, Cohen said. Shortly afterward, President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, that's the president of Egypt, delivered an address at the Arab Islamic Summit on September 15th, in which he referred to the Jewish state as an enemy, marking the first time that Egypt's head of the state used such language since 1977. El-Sisi, moreover, issued a warning to the Israeli public. Israel's actions are undermining the existing peace accords with the nations of the region, he said. The consequences will be severe, he continued. This is the price we will all pay without exception. Therefore, do not allow the peace efforts of your predecessors to be in vain, for a time will come when remorse is utterly futile. Dave, that sounds like they're planning for war. What do you think?
That's what it looks like, John.
Cohen mentioned two other factors that are driving Egypt's escalation of the situation. With the external debt of $160 billion, Cairo is dependent on Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates for bailouts, he noted. However, during the U.S. President Donald Trump's latest visit to Doha, this financial channel was cut off. This is why el-Sisi delivered a militant speech to portray himself as Qatar's protector, Cohen said. The second factor is the daily incitement of the government-controlled Egyptian media against Israel. There you go. I wanted everybody to hear this. Against Israel, constantly referring to the enemy, the expert stressed. In the past, the Lebanese-born Cohen accused Egypt of being the most anti-Semitic country in the Arab world. The Egyptians view us as their enemies. Wasserman raised the alarm about Egyptian incitement as well. In the Knesset, deliberation about the security situation on the Egyptian border held in March, she said that Egypt has been indoctrinating its citizens to hate Israel for more than four decades. Despite not being a democracy, she said at the time, a population of 110 million has a huge impact on the country's decision makers. She outlined the Egyptian mindset, which is heavily based on faith. Egypt is not an Islamic state, even to the contrary. It fears radical political Islam and actively clamps down on it. And yet faith and Islam are fundamental to every Egyptian. Despite outlawing the radical Sunni Muslim Brotherhood, Islamist ideology does exist in Egypt. And there are certain degrees of infiltration of that ideology into the military and into decision makings in Egypt. The nucleus of the decision making, however, is not Islamist at all. Well, Dave, there's more, and I'm watching the time here. What's your general overall take on this article with the information it's providing?
Well, very articulate, John, and it coincides with what the prophets say is going to happen. And it's happening simultaneously as we're heading for a global economic system. The entire planet's ganging up on Israel over Jerusalem and Judea. We have a global moral collapse, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a big piece of the puzzle, John.
Well, folks, I'm probably maybe not a halfway through the article. So I think I'll leave it there. So you can, go on your own if you want to pick it up. Or unless you want to stay, Dave, and have me dig into it some more.
Well, John, I'm up at 5 a.m., so I'm going to be hitting the sack soon.
Okay. Dave, can you give us an update on your wife?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I want to thank everybody for praying for my wife. She's had some unusual symptoms, dizziness, part of her face was going numb. So we thought it was vertigo. So we went to the emergency room and they did a CAT scan and two MRIs, and they're really not sure about exactly what the problem is. They gave us some medication to stop the dizziness, but we have to continue to find out what the problem is. So I want to thank everybody for their prayers because, as my wife knows, I'm pretty useless around the house because I'm very busy with the ministry. And, she's a big help, John. She's a blessing. So I want to thank everybody for praying for her. So, John, let me give you an update about the shipping department.
Yeah, sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. Yeah. Well, the way I look at it is we have an incredible opportunity. The shipping department has been open for years, and for a long time it was just Kenya. But in the past, we shipped to over 30 different countries. But now we've been getting requests. Let's see if I can name the countries. Tanzania, Burundi, Ethiopia, Sudan. Just trying to think where else, Malawi, Burundi, et cetera. Now, we've simplified the shipping department. You can go to mctbrochures.com and you can view some of the materials. But in one package, we send them copies of The Last Trumpet, Russia Invades Mideast, The Last Shofar, the Jerusalem edition, John's track on the 666 surveillance system, the Broken Hearted track. We have some of the Blessed Hope tracks. Then we send them a Bible study on the rebirth of Israel. We call it the Ezekiel file. Then we send them a Bible study on the typology of Joseph. We send them Clarence Larkin's chart from 1917, Dispensational Truth, that identifies the fact that Clarence knew that Israel was going to become a nation again in 1917. Then we send them a little interview we do, a CD, and then we send them a CD, Jonathan Edwards' sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And then just an update on The Last Trumpet and something on the barcodes. So all that fits in the package. And if you're interested, you can sponsor a package. It basically costs $58. That includes the shipping and the postal fee from these countries. So if you can help us, it would be greatly appreciated. Every time we send a package, people get saved. It's very, very simple. So it's a lot cheaper for us to send a package than for John and I to travel to Tanzania. So that's the story, John.
Okay, Dave. God bless you.
All right. Okay, sounds good. I want to thank everybody for listening. And John, I'll talk to you during the week. Okay?
Okay, Dave.
God bless.
All right. Bye now. Bye. Well, I hope that that article, I thought it was wonderful, insightful information. So like I said, you can get it on my blog. Right now it's the lead article on the blog, if you'd like to follow up with it. But I have some more articles about the Middle East. I want to, if nothing else, just give you the headlines and maybe talk a little about it, and then go over and cover what's going on here in America. Some real serious stuff is brewing, and I want to talk about that. It has to do about the, these Democrat states and cities. It looks pretty obvious. In theory, it was always there, but now it's obvious that it looks like the Democrats are trying to destabilize the big cities with crime, and with the federal government going in there and taking these criminals out, and perhaps starting riots again like they did in 2020, which started in Minneapolis. Because it's irrational, completely irrational, what these mayors and governors are doing. And it's coordinated. What they're doing in Detroit is the same as Chicago and New York and Boston and Portland, Oregon. It's like Antifa owns it now. It's amazing to follow this. So something serious is brewing, really serious. And we really need to stay focused on this. And tonight, before we finish, we're going to pray that the Satan's plans are going to be null and void. The Lord is going to nullify them, because nothing is going to stop that great, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let me go down with these articles, read the headlines, so because I want you to get them all, because these are important. All right, now this is an interesting one. Israel has invited Tommy Robinson to Israel. Now, you may not have heard Tommy Robinson, but he is a real patriot from Great Britain, and he's spent an enormous amount of time in jail. They arrest him for anything, folks, anything. So Israel has invited him there because he stands for Israel. So it's really touching. And Netanyahu personally has arranged it. And the British government is absolutely shocked, blown away by this. So Tommy Robinson, now again, like it doesn't mean much here. It means little to nothing. But this is a big deal, Israel reaching out and inviting him. Let's see. All right. Now, this is a very interesting article. DOJ targets pro-Palestinian groups with same law used by Biden administration against pro-life activists. So if you stood in front of an abortion center, Biden's DOJ would have you arrested and face all sorts of time. It was grandmas, like in their 70s, and one of them was a very sick woman with cancer. Yeah, they arrested them, tried them, convicted them, and sent them to prison. Now, since then, Trump is, I think all of them have been released. But anyways, in New Jersey, what happened was a Muslim group. And in fact, let me just read the release about it. Today, we announced the filing of a civil complaint against the individuals and organizations who organized and carried out a violent protest that interfered with the religious event and obstruct worships at congregation or Torah synagogue in West Orange, New Jersey last year. These violent protesters meant their actions for evil, but we will use this case to bring forth good, the protection of all Americans' religious liberty. So the penalties for this are enormous, folks. So I don't know how many people are involved. They're all Muslims. There's a Muslim Muslim mosque not too far away. So that's where the Muslims came from, and maybe they can sue them and close that mosque. And then there was some other organizations involved. So with this case, the government can like strip the money. They can bankrupt them, folks. But this is really good. And so any more of this happens, like at a church or a synagogue, the federal government is ready to go to bankrupt these organizations and maybe even press criminal charges. All right, let's see. I think that that's about it. Yeah, all the other articles really aren't that interesting. All right, so that covers Israel and the Middle East and the Jews. Let's go over here because I have plenty of interesting articles about critically important information here for the United States. And it's beyond the United States too, but it's mostly the United States to keep you up to date. Now, I'm going to start off with something really, really, really good. Hundreds saved and baptized as 8,000 students seek visas at University of Tennessee. Now, I'm starting to see these kind of like on a regular basis, and I have more to post, but it's like, it seems to be like one or two a week now. It used to be, you know, a couple in a 2 or 3 months. But here, this is the University of Tennessee on campus, and 500 were baptized, and 500 came to the Lord and were baptized. So this is the college campuses, folks. The Lord, we got a fire going in it. I call it a prairie fire. From that prairie fire, we want a forest fire, a raging forest fire. Our God is a consuming fire. It delights me to see this because as I studied the great outpourings in the past, there was always like little fires like this, and they got intense little fires peppered throughout the country. Then all of a sudden, the big outpouring hit, and the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit were on and shaking the nation top to bottom, side to side, where the Lord would pour his Spirit out and incredible things would happen here in America. We want the same thing now. So this here at the University of Tennessee is an indicator that the outpouring, the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit's not far off. Now, something else I want to mention here about the Catholic Church and the Pope. He's showing his colors now, his true colors, which aren't good. So here's the headline. Pope Leo offers another jibe at Trump over deportations, urging Catholics to embrace open borders on the new missionary age. So the new missionary age to this Pope is no borders, one world, folks. He's picking up right where the other guy left off. What can I say? He's talking about, specifically he was talking about President Trump, and I believe Marco Rubio. He was talking about the southern border, and it's the same nonsense. How can they be so stupid? They're not stupid. It's an agenda. Why doesn't the Pope or, I don't know, a Democrat senator, how about governor, mayor, they're acting like ISIS in there after family, you know, a husband and wife and three kids, illegal aliens, that are working in a business. They have a business. And ICE is going in there and pulling the kids away and separating the husband and wife and, you know, putting them on planes and sending them to Africa. It's lies. It is absolute lies. time and time again, like here in Houston, I think 2 weeks they got 1,000 legal aliens. They listed their names here in the local news and what the crimes were. Yet they act like these are little lambs and Trump is a big wolf. And he's feeding and tearing apart these little lambs. They're disingenuous. This Pope is disingenuous. He's from Chicago. He follows the American news. And if he's not disingenuous, he's stupid. They are lumping this as Trump is heartless and he's going after, well, what did they call that guy? A Maryland man, that guy Garcia. He's a Maryland man. He's an MS-13. He's been adjudicated as an MS-13 twice in the courts, twice. He was caught by the Tennessee Highway Patrol smuggling illegal aliens in his vehicle. And the FBI said to let him go. I think he's been arrested a couple times for beating his wife and other things. And this is who the Pope wants to be here in America? So I'm just pointing him out because now he's on this horse. He's on this hobby horse, joined the governor of Illinois and Newsom and mayors of these cities that Trump is federal government is a monster. This is Alice in Wonderland stuff. So they're all suffering. If they believe it, they are incredibly deluded. I mean, really big time. So, but if they know what they're doing, they're certified liars. They have no good option in this, folks. The Pope just joined them. And his hometown is Chicago. This is also very interesting. The headline says, mega churches herald new movement of Christian thinkers as thousands attend apologetics conference. So this is good, folks. This is a lot of this is going into the churches and going into the college campuses and apologetics, defending the faith. So they can go in there and take the atheists head on and the Muslims head on. You've got the scriptural tools to do it. Very, very good. So it was a big movement, a big group. And there were names here that don't mean anything to me. But that's exciting. That's exciting. That's all adding life, folks. Life into the body of Christ. The worst city that I can tell as I'm following it right now is Portland, Oregon. Literally, Antifa is ruling the streets, literally. The police stand there and just do nothing. Unless Antifa gets in a fight with someone, then they arrest the person that was fighting with Antifa, no matter what. So Trump wants 300 National Guard in Portland to protect the Fed, mostly to protect the federal building and federal cars and that. So the Oregon tried to stop it, and they went to a federal judge. And the judge ruled an injunction against Trump and ICE and the National Guard because, I got this mixed up. That Trump is trying to start a revolution. It's not Trump that's doing it. See, even these federal judges are deep into this. Who's doing it is Antifa and the city of York. The city of Portland and the state of Oregon, because the illegal aliens are criminals under our laws. And they've been adjudicated. Almost all of them have been adjudicated as illegal aliens to be deported. So this has been doing it. Biden was letting them in. But this was the law when Biden was there, President Trump's first term, Obama, all of them, Bush, Clinton. So all the federal government is trying to do is enforce the law. And so it's the cities. It's these woke cities with these woke governors that are causing the revolution, not us, not President Trump. They are one. There is, and I might as well stop here now and bring this up. There's no doubt that this is a conspiracy. I mean, because it's happening to more or less the same in Seattle. Portland seems to be the most aggressive now. And Antifa is taking the streets. Los Angeles, I don't hear that much about San Francisco. Chicago, there's a city, a town, I guess you'd call it, west of Chicago. And yesterday, 10 cars boxed in and surrounded ICE vehicles with federal agents. And apparently some lunatic woman had an AR-15 and there was a gun battle. The agents were having a gun battle with Antifa and she got wounded. The police would not come to help the federal agents. And she had been, and Antifa had been giving agents names. They got a $2,000 reward out for the agents, federal agents. If you kidnap them, you get $10,000. If you kill them, they're broadcasting it on the internet and all around, openly challenging the federal government with these federal judges and local judges behind them. Now, this is Chicago. This is Detroit. This is, I haven't heard anything of Philadelphia. It's in Boston. Houston, Texas was very quiet. A lot of arrests were made in Texas. Cities were very quiet about it. Atlanta, and I don't know how many other cities. This is unified. This is a confederation now, a Democrat confederation to try and bring like rebellion here in the cities. They're using these cities as a launching pad to bring a civil war in America. There's no doubt about it. You could see one city doing this. We'll say Portland. We'd say they're wackos there. It fits them. They're crazy. They're woke. But then you get all these other cities and you get these governors all over the place. Governor of Minnesota, governor of Illinois, governor of New York, governor of Massachusetts, governor of California. Those are the ones that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are more. And these major cities boldly doing this. The federal government wants to take money away. They don't seem to care. And what they're doing is defending illegal aliens who have criminal, they've got criminal histories, and they're legally ready to be deported, and they're defending them. Something's not right. Something's really not right. So I think, and I'm just getting my own opinion on this, I think what Trump is doing, he's getting a head start on them. And I think he's diffusing them to a great extent. They want a lot of people killed. They want a shootout with people in the street and many of them killed. The more that's killed, the better. And the governor of that state will go crazy. The mayor will go crazy. This is innocent citizens being killed by a monstrous Trump who is a Hitler. That's what they want, folks. The more dead and wounded, the better. That's how evil they are. We need much prayer, folks. To bring you up on this, you don't hear virtually nothing about it nationally, but the National Guard is in Memphis right now. The mayor invited them. The governor invited them. There's been hundreds of arrested, all sorts of guns, weapons seized, and I think already sections of Memphis are being brought under control, just like Washington, D.C. So Trump is getting ahead of them, and folks, these evil people, they are really evil, and they want war. They want a civil war here on American soil. I think next, the governor of Louisiana wants Trump and the National Guard to come to New Orleans. The mayor doesn't want it, but the governor wants it. So he may go to New Orleans, or the National Guard and the federal agents would go into New Orleans. So you're kind of up to date on this now. It's diabolical. They are evil. Everything about them, folks, is evil. Everything. So I don't think I told you this headline here. Stephen Miller, he's one of the president's top advisors, uploads on judge for blocking Portland National Guard deployment, calls it a legal insurrection. Yeah, a legal insurrection. I didn't post this article, and I'm going to try if I can find it, but the I know where it is. I know where the article is. These district judges are upset. To show you how arrogant they are, they're upset with the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court isn't voting with them against Trump. A lot of them are newly appointed Biden judges, and they're all weird looking with weird names. I mean, just weird, weird, weird. And they are hardcore leftist, woke. And the Supreme Court isn't following them, and they're publicly whining about it and saying the court's making them look bad. So can you imagine another 4 years of Biden appointing judges like this? All right. This is interesting also. I had been following what's going on in Harvard University. And Trump had a big lawsuit against them for supporting the terrorists against Jewish students. So there are cases against Harvard by the Jewish students. They're separate from this. But what apparently is going to happen this week, Harvard has agreed to a fine of $500 million. They've agreed to it. The federal government, Trump's federal government, suing them for $2.4 billion. So Harvard has agreed to $500 million. $500 million, folks. Oh my. We're also on the verge of war with Venezuela. The problem there is Venezuela is an international money laundering and drug dealing nation led by the president, Maduro. So Trump has declared war on it as a narco nation that's attacking the United States and killing Americans with drugs. So just a day or two ago, Trump sent a letter to Congress. It would have been the Speaker of the House, saying that the United States was positioning itself to attack Venezuelan military positions, airfields, and close its harbors. And they were putting Congress on notice of that. Because this is not quite like a declaration of war. This is more like we are under attack by a terrorist state. And this is the government provides laws for this. And that's what the liberals were crying about. And so Trump was arresting them and removing them from the country if they were aliens in here. So now we're expanding that. So already they've sunk, I think, three or four of these narco boats. And there's some heavy amount of cocaine in them in that. But now he is going to close the harbors, and that means oil too. And they may take the airfields out because they're also not only using boats, but they're using planes to fly the drugs out. So there's no fooling around, folks. President Trump is doing exactly what he needs to do. They are a narco state aimed at the United States. They've killed, I don't know how many of Americans of overdoses, primarily young teenagers, college students. And Trump said, no more, no more. So that may come this week. Now, from what I understand, Hegseth it came out, I don't know, New York Times or something. It's not like a secret, but he said that he's received the orders from President Trump and that the American Navy is ready. So we have warships off Venezuela. Our airplanes are based in Puerto Rico. And we have one or two naval ships with thousands of Marines in them. And you know, if you're going to go into war, you don't want the Marines, you know, day after day after day in a boat like that, a ship. So if he's going to do it, it could be very well this week. Oh, here's the article I was mentioning to you a few minutes ago here. Chicago police ordered not to respond after car ramming attack on federal agents. The Department of Homeland Security says ICE agents in Chicago suburb boxed in by 10 cars as tension escalates. And that's where I told you there was a shootout and that woman was wounded. And what I'm starting to notice, folks, it's really starting to stand out. The women are becoming very, very aggressive, very aggressive. I'm watching them in confrontations about with like the ICE agents. And I'll say it's 2 to 3 to 1 women. It's very surprising to see it. And they're physical with the agents. They're fighting arrests. And I'm really seeing it. A lot of the protesters, they are women, and they are not just holding little signs. They are really, really aggressive, big time aggressive. Like that woman with the AR-15 that had the shootout with the federal agents. Just, you know, it's a little unusual. There's a disproportionate amount. If it was 50-50, but it's more women, folks, more women. So there's something going on with these. It might be drugs they're on and things like that. I don't know what, but it's noticeable now. I posted an article here. It talks about the Shroud of Turin. Years ago, I thought it was a Catholic record, relic. And I, through the years, I've looked at it more and more and more. And this is a major, scientific study that's came out, and it's pretty heavy stuff, folks. I highly recommend that you go to the article and read it. It's called Two Tangible Reasons for Bold Faith in Jesus Christ, Including the Shroud of Turin. So engineers looked at it. Forensic pathologists looked at it. They've determined that it is blood, AB. It's AB blood on the Shroud of Turin. So let me just read this because you'll find it very, very interesting. I hardly speak about it. I don't teach anything about it. The reason why is because I was hard to overcome. I did it on my own. So I just don't want to get into, have to prove to anyone that I think it's true. But this article here is really good. And it's as a result of every type of science you could think of is investigating it. All right. Extensive examination of the shroud indicates, among other things, that the blood and other bodily fluid stains on the fabric were burned into the fabric by a tremendous burst of energy, unexplainable by scientific examination. In fact, the Shroud of Turin research project study group that included 35 physicists, chemists, NAS image specialists, electrical engineers, a forensic pathologist, and others determined that the shroud's image, all right, number one, appears to be created by an oscillating strobe of high intensity light coming from, you ready, inside the body. Two, the event happened in 1/40th of a billionth of a second, like a laser beam moving at 2.5 billion watts of electricity. To create a similar light, one would need all the electric power generated on Earth. This is heavy-duty stuff, folks. So what it is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He apparently came, the shroud was on him, covered in it, and at his resurrection, he came right through it. So it appears to be an oscillating strobe. It's a strobe light of high intensity light coming from inside the body. The event happened in 1/40th of a billion of a second, like a laser beam moving 1.5 billion watts of electricity to create a similar light. One would need all the electric power generated on Earth. So, I mean, whether you believe it or not, doesn't really matter. But through the years, I've come to believe that this is like a huge scientific finding that just came out about it. It's exciting, folks. It really is. Let's see. Oklahoma to launch Turning Point USA chapters in every high school in the state following Charlie Kirk's assassination. Well, I think that's good. Here's my reservation on it. We have to be very careful now that Turning Point USA doesn't become an evangelistic tool of the Catholic Church. Because the hierarchy of Turning Point USA, including Charlie's wife, are Catholics. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we know it, is different than the gospel of the Catholic Church. So dealing with this could somewhat be a trap, folks. You preach the gospel on campus, get people to believe and bring them in, and then try and direct them to Catholicism. And it's Catholicism is irreconcilable with our beliefs and the doctrines in the Bible. There is no Pope. Jesus Christ he rose from the dead. He's not on the cross. And the transubstantiation does not happen. The communion is not literally his body and his blood. The Mass, he doesn't die again in the Mass. There's a whole bunch of things that there is no such place as purgatory. You don't earn your way out of purgatory. The way we get to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's his shed blood that pays the penalty for sin, not our working to have the penalty paid for. So those are several things that come to mind. And we don't want anybody to come to the Lord and be put under that. So I'm really concerned now about Turning Point. And it's going to be like using the gospel to lure them in. So I'm going to follow it closely. But at this point, the hierarchy there now is Catholics. Where did that happen? Where did that come from? It's like amazing. It's amazing. Hillary Clinton says white Christian men are causing such damage to the United States. I've been waiting for that. They've been saying white males for quite a while, but white males does not include homosexuals. It doesn't include evolutionists. They get a pass on that, folks. It doesn't include, what else would we say? Woke. White Christian men are those that believe the gospel and stand up for the word of God. So here's what Hillary had to say. Hillary Clinton says white Christian men are damaging America. In a recent public appearance, Hillary Clinton once again sparked controversy with her statements. This time, the former presidential candidate claimed that white Christian men are causing great damage to the United States. Remarks that immediately drew backlash for conservatives and defenders of traditional values. So I don't think I've ever heard her talk about Islam in a negative way at all. Never. White Christian men. And I think that'll get more and more in focus as we go on in time. And there's great political damage done to the left here. And their power has been stripped away. They're going to be looking at us, the white Christian males, as the enemy. And in this sense, I guess we are. You know, spiritual sense, we're definitely their enemies. This is interesting also. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican congresswoman from Georgia, she said something really eerie. She said she's not suicidal. Issues chilling warning amid Jeffrey Epstein document fight. So she is fighting with all the power she has in the House of Representatives to try and get all the Epstein information out to the public. So apparently she might be close in doing it. So this is from the article. She issued a public warning on Saturday, declaring that she is not suicidal and urging Americans to demand answers if foreign governments or powerful people attempted to prevent her from exposing information about the Jeffrey Epstein sex trafficking network and the political establishment, she says, protecting it. And that's pretty serious. And I've come to this conclusion. When Trump was running, he talked about one of the things, he was going to get all the information out about the Kennedy assassination, both Kennedys, Martin Luther King, and Epstein, Miles. So Pam Bondi at one time, I remember her saying that the files were on her desk and they were working on it to get them out. Next thing you know, they claim there is no files. So then it's back and forth. There isn't files. So right now you don't hear a word about it. Not a word. It's like disappeared. So I've come to the conclusion that there are Republicans in those files that will do incredible damage to the Republican Party. I don't think it's Trump. I don't think it's him at all. But it could be, you know, congressmen, senators, governors. It could be a very, very important, powerful business, financial supporters. And it would do a lot of damage to the Republican Party, even though it's probably worse with the Democrats. But that's the only reason Trump can be acting like he is. Strange. It's strange with the Epstein files and him. You know, it's the only reason there'd be any hesitation not getting the files out if there was just Democrats. They'd be getting them out as fast as they could. So they're hiding something. It's without a doubt they're hiding something. Maybe billionaire donors, you know. Who knows who else could be there. So if she says her life is threatened, this isn't casual. This is really important stuff. Politically, it's really important. So the Republicans are hiding. If they weren't hiding and it was all Democrat, it would have been out months ago. Definitely there's Republicans in it. Absolutely, definitely, without a doubt. So they don't want that out. You know, because Republicans may have to resign and they've got such a narrow lead, like in the House and the Senate, over the Democrats, it could change the balance of power. That's a real good explanation why Trump and Bondi and them are acting like they are. Politics. Well, politics. All right. Just about, let me see. Oh, there were hundreds of FBI agents, January 6th, and hundreds of them. Originally, I think they said, well, there were 24. But it came out that there were 274 FBI agents. They were agent provocateurs, folks. We knew that. We knew it by what happened. So the FBI, Patel, sent a list out, 274 agents. Now, if you remember, you might remember pictures where FBI agents were kneeling on the steps there of the, I don't know if it was the Supreme Court or the Congress, but they were kneeling in sympathy with like these terrorists. They were all just fired this week. The FBI tracked down who they were, and they were all fired. I mean, how disheartening is that? Seeing FBI agents on their knees, kneeling in conjunction with, I don't know who it was with, folks. I'm not sure if it was the Missouri rioters over that, the death of that black man by the white cop. But anyways, they've identified all of them and they were fired this week. All right. That's about it. I do have some more about wars and rumors of wars, what's happening with Poland and that. I did mention about Venezuela. And it looks like Trump is going to take strategic positions out in Venezuela, maybe like the military headquarters. They might have a headquarters of their narco trade, warehouses. The airports that the planes fly out on with the narcotics, labs. They might have big labs there, and they'll blow those labs up, ships. So it'll be pinpointing key to take out the narco trade. Well, I'm going to call it an end of the second hour, and what I want to do is open things up for any questions, comments, and prayer. We're going to have some prayer also. So let me get, if you would like to call in, 717-409-5553, 717-409-5553. Just call in, and when you call in, I'll see you. And get your call and see what you have to say. Let me go over now and get into the, I still call it the Uber conference room. Actually, the title now is Dialpad. And the first one is Sister Sharon. Hello, Sister Sharon.
Yes, hello, Chaplain John. And I really don't have any questions. And comment is that everything you were talking about, everything is falling into place, you know, and we just need to be ready for Jesus to return.
Amen.
And I feel very, very calm about everything that was talked about tonight because I am waiting for his return.
Amen. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So, and everyone that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Well, that's good to know.
I pray that more people feel, I pray more people feel the benefits of believing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. And let's see. This should be Suzanne. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello. It's interesting you were mentioning about the Pope because
he's
got a chair at the pizza place that's in my town.
Really?
Because his family, he's from my area.
Okay.
Where we live, and his parents live two blocks from, I know I can walk by the house, and his parents at the end of their life lived a couple blocks from us where we live now.
What a small world.
Right. But he had eaten at the Aurelio's pizza place. I think it was August of before he became Pope. He ate there because he's from this area and he had gone to the Tolentine seminary type place that's not too far from where we live.
Okay.
Anyway, it's just very interesting. They have an actual chair that he sat in before he became the Pope because he went to eat pizza there because that's where his family, I mean, it's pretty popular around here. So it was no big deal that he went there, but then when he became Pope, now they have that chair where he sat. It's like that's the Pope's chair where he sat. I just had seen that one thing about him that he had done. I don't know if it's true. About that blessing, that big blob of ice.
Yes.
Whether that's really, you know, true or not true, but the whole thing is just bizarre. That's all I can, you know, it's like all so bizarre. We're watching, you know, what is Shakespeare said, it's all a stage and we're just players in it or something.
Okay.
You know, all this stuff going on and politically and all that. It just seems like it's a show.
A lot of it is. That's what a lot of it is, a show.
We're watching like some show that doesn't have a very... We like our show with the Lord Jesus and I don't know. It's a very strange thing. But yes, there's a lot going on here in the Chicago area the ice situation is not looked upon. It is not looked well upon here at all. And, you know, because the whole area is very Democratic, even neighbors and that, you know, because we have Hispanic family that live a couple doors away and they're supposed to be here. They're legal. But it doesn't have a good, it's not thought of well here. Let me just put it that way. So with what's going on, because everybody thinks it's not right that ICE and all that is happening. So I keep my mouth shut. I don't say anything.
That's the best way.
It is.
Well, I really think that God's given him over for judgment, because if you think there's nothing wrong with huge amounts of illegal aliens coming across the border, coming across as criminals, MS-13, the TDA, and just some plain old other types of the criminals here, and that they are innocent, there's something wrong with that person. Their reasoning has stopped them. They can't reason.
But you know what? From what I understand, I think that kind of, that part of it has been hidden. The part about, you know, that they're awful criminal, you know, some of them are criminals. That isn't what is presented. So that part of it is kind of a hidden.
Well,
in the news.
I'd really like to jump in. Okay. Yeah. Suzanne?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's their own fault. They feed off MSNBC, CNN, and all of that. They have been shown to be liars, and they follow them anyways. They love lies. So if I, let's say I was a big follower of Fox News, and on Fox News, they were presenting Russia, Russia, Russia all the time, Russia, 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 and all of this here, first impeachment, second impeachment, I would never follow Fox News again, because I would, I believed it, but I was lied to. They act like lies in them. They're lied to and they don't care. Or either they're numb to lies. So they've closed their mind off to any other type of news. And they're sitting there getting CNN every day, all lies, 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 lies. So they've got no one to blame but themselves. Suzanne.
Right. Like, what's that saying that you tell lies long enough that it becomes truth?
Right. Right.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. I'm just saying I live in a very democratic area. So I know that they are not hearing anything about that anybody's a bad guy. You know, they're just hearing that the poor people that are being thrown out and there's nothing wrong with those people. So it's quite an interesting place to live.
How, with everything we have today online, we have access to more informational sites than you could dream. And with that, they still live in darkness.
Right.
So I don't have any sympathy for them, seriously. They love lies. They love being lied to. And I don't have any sympathy at all.
Well, thank you, Chaplain John.
Okay.
Appreciate all that you do. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming.
Okay.
And would you like to lead us in prayer?
Sure. As I go tomorrow, Lord, for a funeral in Iowa, I pray, we know that no one knows anything about how long we're going to be on this earth. And so we thank you, Father, for this day and for the life that you've given us today and the fact that we are part of your kingdom. And we are so grateful and thankful to be a follower of you, Lord Jesus, and that you are our Lord and Savior. And you said, I and my and the Father are one. And we just love that. We just love the fact that there's no confusion about that you are the one and only true God. So we pray, Father, for a great outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that there will be a great outpouring on all flesh, and especially your hand of protection for the young people who are so vulnerable, Lord. And we're praying, whether it's on the college campuses or in the schools, wherever, that you would reveal your might, your mightiness, and there would not be confusion. There would not be deception as far as everything that's going on. We want it to be, Father, that everything is presented only truth, because especially for your hand of protection on all the young people and the children. So we repent before you Lord God, and thank you so much that you love us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Suzanne. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. So are you going to be a regular in here on Friday night, Sunday nights?
Oh, I do. I am usually.
Good.
The problem is, well, not that it's a problem, unless we're traveling. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so, you know, going out of town or something. So that I might not be able to be on then.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. God bless you now.
Thank you.
We have Gigi and Randy. We have Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Good evening. And yes, what an evening. You've covered so much. And I know that, you know, it's just sad to hear the situation about Congresswoman Green.
Yes.
And it's like this hatred that has sprung up from the enemy's camp, the saturation of distortion and deception and lies has become so powerful. And at the same time, I still have to hold out for guidance as to when and how to pray with regard to the Holy Spirit move, you know, because that is the one thing that can totally bring on repentance from the heart and recognition of God's reality, holiness, and ugliness of what the world has provided. And when a person really gets that touch, they can be changed. And so I'm still holding out for some people to receive that mercy and grace from the Lord to get them out of the enemy's camp into the full knowledge of Jesus and Heavenly Father, and a hunger and a thirst for that relationship and understanding through scripture study and fellowship with the saints, everything that it takes to be set free and walking with the Lord on a daily basis. So I'm still available to the Lord to have me pray that way when it's his call, you know. I haven't closed that off. I'm still praying that will be included as he sees fit, you know. He knows those that can be reached and changed, just like he was able to do that with Saul to Paul. And, I mean, there was something else that I really wanted to pray about, but that's what's just flooding my mind right now. So I'm just lifting it up. But we covered a lot of things tonight. And I know I'm going to have time capsules that he's going to just continue. Oh, it has to do also, Father God, this situation. We definitely want some intercession here. The movement that Charlie started, and we don't want it to be used by the enemy.
Amen.
We need for it cleaned up.
Amen.
We need the understanding of your truth and the distortion of the Catholic mispresentation. And because there are so many that are actually being swept up under that with a great expectation of joy and gratitude and thanksgiving, believing that that the true gospel is being presented, and if it's not, I haven't really gotten in depth into their material to see how they're presenting it. But I can certainly understand why there's this concern that Chaplin has, given that so much of it was founded by people who have been apparently very staunch Catholics and haven't understood the importance of the Christian doctrine that is away from the worship of Mary, that is away from worship of saints and idols, and that is, you know, very different from the concept of confession to a person and paying for different kinds of retribution. Father God, Jesus is our Savior, Jesus alone. And we want for there to be a protection of your people from the part, the distortion. We want a recognition and a correction if it's being presented as the Catholics present it in the fullness of the Catholic perspective, Father God. Because it would once again come in and steal, kill, and destroy the vision that you have for your loved ones. And I pray that Jesus is interceding right now on behalf of all of those who might be lost to the misrepresentation. And you're the only one that can bring the correction, because no matter what people say, unless you anoint our words in such a way that it opens the heart and brings the knowledge you want to be brought, we just need you, because it has great potential if it's got the correct information going out. But if the lies are what are being presented, it's very scary, Father. So again, it all definitely comes into your great outpouring. Your great outpouring could set everything straight. Your Holy Spirit touch on the minds and the hearts and the souls of people would bring the knowledge that they need to have the truth. Because you are the truth. You're the way and the light. And I just lift it all up to you. That's what I mean. Tonight just brought me so much in heart and yet still hope, because you are the Almighty God and you are the one that is able. And our hope is in you. And I'll say that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Paula Jean. Now, should we have a 911 call for Sister Kathy? What do you think, Sharon?
Oh, she's probably somewhere asleep by now, I would think.
Well, I don't know if we can continue without her. What do you think?
Well, I think you should call her. Go ahead.
No. All right, Gigi and Randy.
Yes, hello. I'm sorry. He hung up on himself. Sorry about that.
All right.
So we both wanted to just thank you. He's going to ask a question, but we both wanted to thank you. These were very, very interesting subjects that you brought up, and it was especially incredible. I know Marco Rubio is just
yes.
an amazing thing.
Yes.
Incredible. But I hadn't heard that. I've heard other things, but not that one. But anyway, so I'm going to hand this over to Randy. He's got a question.
Okay.
John?
Yes,
John?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Gina and I believe that Marco Rubio would have a possibility of being president if he doesn't leave politics and become a minister in the meantime.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. He's got the presidential, like, authority when he speaks. There's something about him. I agree with you. I agree with you.
John?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you, you know, there's this negotiation over the Trump 20-point peace plan.
Yeah.
Supposedly, from the latest thing I heard, was that the Hamas had agreed to release the hostages and Trump was going to Egypt. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know about him going to Egypt, but yes, Trump keeps saying that the deal is really, really close. It's really, really close. Knowing Hamas, I think that if they don't go through the deal and they're all killed and, like, martyred, that could really have far-reaching impact. If they're martyrs and they died being killed by the Zionists, well, Allah has cursed, that could ignite a tremendous wave through Islam, because the Jews, the Muslims, are apes and pigs cursed by Allah. So it could really ignite all throughout Islam a tremendous response, Brother Randy.
Well, Gina being realistic and Randy being kind of cynical, we both agree that it's possible that Hamas might agree to even disarming and so forth, but they, we know from experience, they wouldn't live by the rules. So we're afraid they'll agree to it, but then, you know, we'll renege on it.
Yeah, it's possible. They might be trying to buy time or something, you know?
Well, like they're supposed to disarm. Maybe they figure they've got a way to hide their arms.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. You know, they might want to buy some time, a couple months. But if they die as martyrs, that's very dangerous for the world.
Well, I think it's so sad that they're talking about 40 hostages being released and about 2,000 the Israel release and about 2,000 of the Gazans. That's, that I never have understood those kind of quid non pro quo kind of deals, you know?
Well, yeah, it shows you the value they put on lives. Well, that's the
I
way
guess
it is.
That's what they shows me that they're almost strong negotiators.
Well, the Jews that's will do I anything to get back the hostages, so if they want 100-1, that'll be the deal.
Yeah, well, John, that's all I have to say. So thanks again for all of the information tonight.
Good, good, Randy, good. Now, Gigi.
Yes.
Did you get my email?
I saw it, but I'll read it. I just didn't have a chance today. Thank you.
Oh, well, what I did was I was just agreeing with you about Calvin and Augustine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I have, I want to put it like in a little schematic because it's interesting to me to see kind of what the major doctrines were and how that has affected basically the church, right?
Yeah,
all across. And so it's kind of interesting, you know, to see that. And so anyway, okay. Thank you very much. And I just didn't have a chance to. I don't have email on my computer anymore.
Okay.
So that's a problem. I'll do that. But thank you. I appreciate that. I did want to pray.
Go ahead.
If that's
please.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord Jesus, first of all, I was struck last night when I was praying that all of us get to pray to the God of the universe. And I love that. I love the film that Joel Kramer did on when God came down. And I always think about what he was talking about. And so what a privilege we have that we know the truth, and the truth will set us free because you're the truth and you're the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you so much that we have your word and that your Holy Spirit leads us and helps us to understand your word. So I just want to thank you and praise you for this, I'm not sure what to call it, John, this venue that we have together and just all the different myriad of things that we do together and pray together and learn together. And I'm so grateful for you, John, and
thank you.
All the other people thank that you. Participate. It's, you know, I've always told you, I joined you before COVID started, but I really don't know what we would have done if we didn't have you during that period of time.
Wow.
Because people were isolated and afraid to get together, afraid to get together and all of that. But it was like just a constant, I guess you would say, I'm not using any good words, but it was just a constant. And to have that kind of fellowship during that period of time was so significant. I always remember that, and I'm so grateful, John. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that left a big impression on you.
Yes, it did. It did. And so because that was a time when I think that people were isolated, you know, they did it on purpose so that people would be isolated. And I had a short conversation with a friend of mine overseas, and she said she's having a hard time going to a church where people are friendly to each other. And then I thought, we've had the same issue here. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if that came out of the COVID era where people were afraid and felt isolated. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pray.
Please.
Lord, first of all, we just want to thank you and praise you that you make a way, and you've made a way for all of us to be able to come together. We just want to thank John and bless him for his consistency, for his persistence, and that he is so thoughtful and kind to all of us, and that he puts together information and teachings and giving us the opportunity to pray together. So that is precious. And we thank you that we always have this opportunity. If we want to come on and pray, that we're welcome to do so. So, Lord, we want to thank you for your faithfulness. And we're asking you, Lord, to, again, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And not only just an outpouring, but that people, when they come to Christ, no matter where they are, would have the opportunity to be discipled. We know we don't have a long period of time, but some basic discipleship would come so they don't get pirated away to the wrong things, wrong doctrine, the wrong places, and taken advantage of, Lord, because they don't know any better. So we're just praying that during this outpouring and the outpouring that's going on here in different places and overseas in different places, that those people, they would have the wherewithal to have someone come alongside them and help them, Lord. And we just continue to pray for our nation. We pray for President Trump and all of the people in the administration. Thank you that they got rid of some of these FBI people and just some of the things going on, Lord. It's so clear. It's like the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah. So your warning us makes it, well, it's not that we don't believe it, but we understand it, which I can't imagine not understanding it. That would be terrifying. So we thank you for your word and how clear you are to us. And I do want to pray for all of the people in our government, whether they're elected officials or part of the government, that those people would be honest and righteous. And we're praying, Lord, I'm praying specifically that the fear of God would come upon all of these people and that they would do the right thing and they would be honest. I want to pray over the ICE and the police and the military and the National Guard and every level. And Lord, we are so grateful that we heard this news coming out of Pennsylvania that there was a cell, an actual terror cell, living in some small town, and the law enforcement of every kind were able to do this special operation. Nobody got shot. Nobody got hurt. And they just arrested this huge major terror cell.
MS-13.
Yeah, but I mean, they were doing international things from this little town in Pennsylvania. And so, Lord, we pray that they would be able to do exactly those kinds of things where they had good intelligence. So nobody was harmed. ICE wasn't harmed. Police weren't harmed. But they all joined together and they did something really clever. And so I just want to pray that you would give them the ability to do really clever, unusual operations, and that you would protect them, Lord. And we just pray that you would, first of all, I just want to pray. There's a lot of us that have been praying for family members and friends for years. And I'm just praying that now would be the time, Lord, where all those people that we have spent all these years and hours praying for, that they would be humbled, that you would convict them for their benefit, and they would be able to, whatever hard-heartedness, maybe even a broken heart, anger, maybe abuse. I don't know what it is, Lord, that stops people. I don't know. Maybe they hate you. I don't know. But we're just praying that whatever those barriers have been there in the past, that you would break them down, and that all of these people that we've been praying for and all of these people that in the outpouring, that it would just be a huge harvest, Lord. And we thank you in advance for that. And I just want to thank you for Marjorie Taylor Greene. I've been praying for her every day. And I know that there was somebody threatening her and her family before, and they finally caught them. But she's being threatened again, Lord. And I just respect her so much that she wants justice for these victims, and that's why she wants, that's what she's talking about. So, Lord, we're asking you to put a hedge of protection around her, and that we're asking for justice for the victims. That's what we're asking for, Lord. And we know that this world is wicked. We know it's going to pass away. But we're just praying for all of these people that were abused and are being abused now by the system and by people. And we're just praying for mercy, Lord. Mercy on all of them. We pray that they would come to you and be saved and be comforted. And also, Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for Israel. We want to thank you for all the things that are going on there, and that you would protect all of them, including Netanyahu. And whatever this is, Lord, that's going on, we're asking you that your hand would be there. Your hand would be there, and that you would protect all the people in Israel, and especially the soldiers, the IDF, and all the support staff and Netanyahu. And Lord, we're asking you that there would be a huge outpouring in Israel, and that many, many, many of your people will be saved now and wouldn't have to go through the tribulation. And so we want to lift your name on high. We would love to see you glorified over the whole earth, and we're looking forward to the blessed hope. So we just want to thank you and praise you, Lord. Oh, and I wanted to pray one more thing, and that is this upcoming I don't even want to call it a holiday. This celebration is very popular here. And we're just praying that people would wake up and not participate in any way, shape, or form. And so it's such a wicked time. So we're praying for protection over each and every one of us. And that the people that we know, we pray that the ones that are getting ready to celebrate and they're Christians, we just pray that they would be convicted to not do that. And so we just want to thank you and praise you that everything that you have, everything that you do, everything that you call us to do, and everything in your word is good. It's good and wonderful and righteous and true. And so we thank you for the ability to understand the difference. And I just want to thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, PG and Randy. Thank you. All right.
You,
and we have Rita. Hello, Sister Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the evening. It was very informative, and it was just a great evening. Thank you, Chaplain.
Good. Good. See, God wants his people on the cutting edge, and he doesn't want us to be deceived and all. So I've been doing this for years, and I get a real sense from the Lord what is, like, important. Because I come across a lot of stuff, and I don't post it all, but I only post the stuff that I think, like, it will be critically important or very important for you to know. And sometimes I don't. I get a leading from the Lord not to post it, and then I found out a week later it was exaggerated or there was false information in it. So I want only to post really good stuff.
Okay, well, that's good, and I think you do.
Good. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for the day, and Father, I thank you for all the help that you have provided for me, Father. You have blessed me, my Lord, my God. Thank you. Father, I pray for the cities across America. They are sinful places, Father, like our college campuses. Father, I ask that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our cities and in our college campuses across America, Father. Father, you have said in your word that if we ask anything in your son's name, that you'll give it to us, Father. Father, I pray that you would forgive and heal and have mercy on America, Father. Take care of President Trump. Keep him safe and guide and direct President Trump in all of his decisions that he makes for America, Father, and for Israel. Father, I ask that there will be no division between President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Bless their friendship and bless Netanyahu, Father. Father, I pray, I give you thanks, Father, that you have stopped the funding of abortion in America. Father, I ask that the abortions in America, that you close them up, each and every one. And also, Father, I pray for the men and women in the House of Congress and in the Senate, that you would convict their hearts to the saving knowledge of your Son. And I pray that the Christians that are in Congress and the Senate would not be lukewarm towards your Son, but they will love you and your Son more with each passing day, Father. And Father, I pray for the midterm elections that will be coming up, I pray that more seats would be won by conservative and God-fearing people. And I pray that Congress and Senate will be controlled by conservatives and God-fearing people, Father. Father, I pray that you bless Israel, give her peace, and protect her. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will fall down in Israel, and that the Jews in Israel, Father, will repent and turn to your Son as their Savior. Bless and protect the men and women in the IDF. Touch each and every one's heart, that they will repent and come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Father. And also, Father, I pray that you will guide and direct Chaplain John in all that he does. Bless and strengthen him, and bless his family and his marriage, Father. I pray this all, Father, in the I pray for everyone that is online tonight, that you will strengthen us, each and every one of us, comfort and encourage, and that if anyone has a broken heart, Father, that you would heal their broken heart. For I pray this all in the name of my Lord, my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we'll call it a night. We had a really good night tonight. And God bless everybody. Tomorrow morning we have prayer starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow night, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have Bible teaching with Pastor Fred. And that's been going on for quite a while now. And he's an excellent, excellent teacher of the Bible. Then after that, we have Watch and Pray. So we pray, and it's open-ended prayer. So God bless everybody. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
I am thinking of the rapture and that blessed home on high when redeemed again, redeemed. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed gathering in. Now when the redeemed again, redeemed, watch like snow and free from sin. Gathering in, we will sing redemption's story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed.